This reading is how I got my sermon title for today, Goldilocks and Mama Bear. Reverend Unger's words made me think about parenthood in a slightly different way than I had before. You see, most of my life, I have judged how my parents raised me, not just in bad ways, but in good ways too. I've judged them. Like, my mom was good in that she encouraged us kids to put on plays and create art projects, and I always knew she loved us. But she was not so good in that I think she was sometimes too harsh in her discipline, and she tended to explode at the end of every Christmas day. Perhaps because her own mom had died a few days before Christmas, and she had to raise her younger children, her younger sisters, pretty much on her own with an alcoholic father. So I've always judged her, positively and negatively, on what she did or didn't do right. As for my dad, he was good in that he built things for us kids, like a little church in the backyard where I could pretend to be a priest. I know. I was a really weird kid. My dad built a little church in the backyard. My sister sewed up vestments that I could wear. The parish priest gave me a little beretta to wear, and I would go on the neighborhood sprinkling people with holy water. And when I came upon Catholic kids who weren't going to Mass every Sunday, I warned them that they would be going to hell. And the Protestants, I would say, well, you're in the wrong religion, but you'll have fewer sins, but the ones you do have, you can't go to confession and you can't get the really bad ones forgiven. So you can get to heaven, but it's really hard. So that's the kind of kid I was. I was the kind of kid that most Unitarian parents would kind of keep their kid away from, I think. Anyway, so my dad built those things and lots of other things, but he never seemed to enjoy spending much time with us. You know, we always seemed to be more in the way than fun to him until we were adults. And I've always had some trouble forgiving him for that. Anyway, for most of my life, I have judged how well my parents did their job. And I don't think I'm alone. I've talked with many others about their parents and how they did or didn't do a good job of raising them. So I know this is a common thing to do. And I've often judged myself, though I have no kids of my own, I've wondered often how good of a dad I would have been if I had had children of my own. Would I be as encouraging as my mom or as impatient as my dad? And just as kind of as an aside, when Craig and I first got together, in the beginning we thought we might adopt children. Back then, this was 1984 when we first met, it would have been somewhat difficult, but if we had adopted maybe from India or something, if I had gone as a single person. So we talked about that as a possibility. But as time went on, we were getting older, and I was kind of thinking, I think maybe I'd like to do this. But Craig was teaching public school, and he was with 30 kids every day. And he said, I don't know that I would be able to have the time. And he says, but the biggest problem is as a minister, you have to go away sometimes in the middle of the night. I just don't think you could be there. And but when we used to talk about, we saw a movie called Mommy Dearest. Any of you see that movie? It's about Joan Crawford and how she raised her kids. And we were watching that movie once, and at the end of it, Craig said, gosh, wasn't she just a terrible mother? And I said, oh, I think her kids are just whiners. And he said, really? And I said, well, my parents did a lot worse than that. You know, if we made noise at night, my dad pulled on our pants and had a wooden spoon that he'd stick in water so it would sting more and beat our butts. And I mean, he did things that today would be considered child abuse, certainly. I said, you know, she cut off all her daughter's hair, or she hit her with a, you know, that wasn't so bad. And Craig said, you know, if we had ever adopted a kid, and the only name he could think of for a kid was Lakshmi, because we always celebrated Diwali in our church, and Lakshmi is a goddess of good fortune. So his joke was, I have to say, look out, little Lakshmi, bad daddy's coming. So anyway, I have wondered how good of a dad I would have been if I'd had children of my own. So besides the judgments I've made and still make sometimes about my parents, I add on judgments of myself as to how I would have been as a father or how good I am as a minister, which has fatherly roles embedded in it. So for me, Mother's Day and Father's Day have almost always been about judging, good or bad, either my parents or myself. And I suspect for some of you, that is also the case. But then I came across this piece on motherhood and Goldilocks, and I began to see parenthood in a slightly different way. Rather than judge myself or my parents, or anyone else for that matter, I think of what it might mean to have a stranger enter your life whom you suddenly have responsibility for. Having a child, says Reverend Unger, is a great deal like having Goldilocks break into your home, only without the option of scaring her off at the end of the story. Wow. Was that what it was like for my mom and dad when I and my brothers and sisters were born to them? How could they have prepared for that? Now, one can make the argument that they chose to be parents, so they should have been better prepared. But who ever chooses parenthood with all the facts at hand? I mean, when you decide to become a parent, you may think you know what you're getting into, but each child is sort of like having this little creature break into your house and try this chair and that one, this bowl and the others, and beds 1, 2, and 3, and hardly ever be satisfied with anything they see or touch or eat. And then they complain, either when they're still kids or later when they're adults like me, and probably at both times, about how you didn't give them the right-sized chair or the best-tasting porridge or the most comfortable bed, when the truth is, they're the ones who broke into your house. What did they expect? So having read this little piece about parenting and realizing that everyone who has a child, whether biologically or through adoption, has, in effect, invited a stranger to live with them, Having read that piece, it has now gotten a little harder for me to judge how good or bad my parents were, or to judge what kind of parent I might have been, for that matter. And you know, when you consider that this little stranger has broken into your house, even when he or she has been with you long enough not to feel like a stranger, when you consider that they're going to become a stranger all over again when they reach adolescence, it's like you keep on having a new Goldilocks break into your house every couple of years. Now, the Reverend Lynn Unger, who wrote this piece and who happened to get her child through adoption, had this to add. She says it this way: in my life, certainly the greatest and scariest adventure into the realm of love was the choice to bring a child into our family. What sensible person would commit to loving a total stranger, some random person off the street? Of course, Jesus said, love your neighbor, but even he didn't suggest that you take that neighbor, whatever your neighbor happened to be, and bring them into your house for the next 2 decades. She says, we're talking love here, not some namby-pamby sort of general goodwill, but unconditional, diaper-changing, tantrum-tolerating, hands-on, unshakable love, no questions asked, and no backsies. When you look at parenthood that way, either the parenthood you received or the parenthood you may have given, maybe the question to ask is not, why didn't I get the love I should have had, or why didn't I give the love I should have given, but how does the miracle of love ever happen at all? Because you see, you could ask the same question about your friends or your significant other if you have one. If you have a spouse or partner, that person too is ever-changing, as are you. So no matter who they were when you first got together, they're certainly not quite that person anymore, are they? And you aren't the one that they first fell in love with either. So how do you manage to hold a place in your heart for someone who is, in effect, one stranger after another, as are you? Likewise, with the friends you may keep over years and years, maybe the question isn't, why aren't they better friends? But how did friendship with a complete stranger ever become possible? And how is it that when a new Goldilocks seems to come into my home every couple of years or so, I find a place in my heart for each one? What kind of miracle is that? When I begin to think this way about my parents and about my husband, about my friends, or even about myself, there is a shift from how good or how bad and a ranking system that pits one person against another, my mom versus someone else's, my parents versus yours, who got the most breaks, who's the most scarred, whose oppression is worse, who got off too lightly. There's a shift from that comparison shopping to an utter awe that anyone manages this thing called love at all, let alone poorly or well. How is it that we end up inviting Goldilocks into our home and our hearts, not just once, but twice, not just twice, but over and over again? How do we do that? Shouldn't that be impossible, or at least very rare? And yet it seems to happen, and quite frequently, in fact. Now, I don't say any of this to dismiss whatever complaints you may have had and might still have about your parents. I still have my complaints. Or to ignore the shortcomings that you may feel you have exhibited as a parent or partner or friend. Those may be all completely valid, and each of us may need to spend time analyzing our past and doing some comparison shopping, as it were. How did my mom stack up against yours? How good have I been as a parent, spouse, or friend? How scarred or blessed has my childhood been compared to everyone else's? These are no doubt interesting questions and fascinating, but they are not the only questions one could ask. Let me put it this way. If you are watching a sunset or a sunrise, there are a couple ways you might do that. One way is to just enjoy the colors you see and ooh and ah over the spectacle. The other way is to watch the sun near the horizon and compare the colors you see with the colors you saw the last time you watched a sunset, or with the colors you've seen in certain photographs that compare favorably or unfavorably to this one. Both are valid ways to look at a sunset, but they are quite different experiences. And you know, when I was preparing this sermon, I went to my Mother's Day file and I found lots of stories of inspirational parenting and cute stories, sentimental stories, stories that might bring a tear to your eye or a wistful smile at some personal memory. But I realized they could just as well set up a rating scale for doing comparison shopping. Well, my mom never did that, or my family upbringing was not that blessed. In fact, I remember as a kid watching Leave It to Beaver almost every week on TV and thinking, boy, I sure got the short end of the stick. Because not only was my family much poorer than theirs, but my parents weren't really so nice or understanding. Beaver's mom and dad were almost always kind and thoughtful, and those few times when they made a mistake, they actually apologized. My parents weren't like that. Were yours? So why couldn't I have had June and Ward for my mom and dad, or people like them? That's what I thought. So rather than set up a comparison shopping adventure for you today by telling some tender stories about parents that may or may not remind you of your own, let me just say that love of any kind or rating is a sort of miracle. And the fact that any of us is able to invite a stranger into our heart and let them live there without always knowing who they will become or who we will become in the process is a little like a sunrise or a sunset. We don't have to rate it to find it amazing. We don't have to compare it to other sunsets that we've seen or heard about. It is a miracle all by itself, as are you. I invite you, since we have a little time, if you would like to share a memory of a parent or someone who was like a parent to you, or any thoughts you might have on the whole subject. And if we can get the microphone passed around and...